It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
And I'm Brittany Hughes. Welcome back on a beautiful Wednesday.
It is a beautiful Wednesday. And of course, you can catch up on this podcast and all our other podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. It's the only MRCTV podcast out there. So please check it out. And today, we're doing something special. This is awesome. This is going to be fun.
I'm so excited. All right, I really am.
Brittany and I powwowed on this the other day. And we came up with...
Unless it sucks, in which case it's totally your idea.
Well, it was my idea, but you came up with a great name. This is Mark's Madness, A Race to the Left. We're going to take a look at some of the most outrageous things that liberals have said recently. And we're going to just decide, we're going to have tournaments, and we're going to decide, it's our opinion, our votes, who makes it all the way to making the most outrageous statement that we've heard recently. With us today as our special guest is the one and only Matt Philbin from Newsbusters. Matt, thank you. MRC Culture.
MRC Culture. Yes. Honored to be here.
Great to have
you. We will allow it. We will allow MRC Culture into our domain for this episode.
Right, well, MRC Culture.
Y'all need some culture.
We need some culture. That is true. We do need some culture.
We need some culture. So we have different brackets, and we're going to talk about which ones we think are the most outrageous statements. And you know, you can play along at home. You can get a bracket list together, and our categories are really interesting. Okay, so let's start this off. We're going to talk about the attacks on Easter, our first bracket. Facing off today, we have Barack Obama's tweets. You have it with you, Brittany. Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it?
You go ahead and read it. I'm going to have to pull it up in front of me. I couldn't remember it verbatim, but I'm going to pull it up.
Okay, Barack Obama's tweet. The attacks on tourists and Easter worshippers in Sri Lanka are an attack on humanity. On a day devoted to love, redemption, and renewal, we pray for the victims and stand with the people of Sri Lanka. Again, this is the attacks on tourists and Easter worshipers.
Well,
what the heck
does anybody
is an
actually
Easter
worship Easter?
Well, maybe the bunny. Maybe the ice cream bunny.
That could be.
See, I was thinking it was more like, you know, all hail the holy peep. Or something. I really wasn't sure. And it was really confusing because, of course, I woke up Monday morning and I'm like, well, crap, I spent all yesterday worshiping Easter and now I don't have anything to do for the whole rest of the year.
That's
I don't know what to do.
That's right. You know, it was funny, though. This dovetailed nicely with that AP, I believe it was AP report saying that in addition to being a tourist mecca, Notre Dame was a church.
Okay. Up against that awesome Barack Obama tweet, we have Hillary Clinton's tweet, where she says, on this holy weekend for many faiths, we must stand united against hatred and violence. I'm praying for everyone affected by today's horrific attacks on Easter worshipers and travelers in Sri Lanka. Who had the most heinous tweet?
You know, there's a third tweet in there from Julian Castro.
Oh, there are several. Yeah. It's actually been picked up by several
folks. These all came
out
of a PR shop someplace. You know, I'd just like to point that out.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, again, the folks that we put through into these brackets were things that were sent to us and given to us. So we're working with what we have here. I'm not saying there aren't others that played the game.
Jeez, Philbin.
Yeah, but these two are in the bracket here.
I have a vote.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's what I think. I'm going to go with Hillary Clinton for this one, and here's why. So she tweeted, on this holy week for many faiths, we must stand united against hatred and violence. And then she goes on to talk about the Easter worshippers. So I'm going to go ahead and give her the slight edge on Barack Obama here because she very specifically, in the very first sentence of her tweet, pointed out this whole many faiths thing. And I'm not saying obviously there are many faiths in the world, but Easter is very, very specific to Christians. And it's clear that she wanted to kind of broaden this to not single out Christianity and to not single out the faith that these people were obviously a part of when they were killed. And I think that that was very deliberate. So I'm going to give her the win over Barack Obama for worst take on Easter worshipers.
Okay, I'm going to go against you. And I'm going to say the fact that at least she thought of other faiths. At least it occurred to her to use the word faith rather than tourists and Easter worshipers. There's no word of faith in the Barack Obama tweet. The cutting edge vote now falls to Philbin.
Oh, goodness.
Who's going to win this, Philbin?
And you can't vote for Castro.
All right. I have to say, and it's really not so much on quality or not so much on what's specifically in there, but I think that Barack being such an exquisitely just sort of man of the world, sort of a citizen of the world, so multicultural, I think this was an easy one for him. So I'd like to go with Hillary, and I'd like to say she was stretching. She was really working it. Whereas this is kind of old hat for the guy who always said Pakistan. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Hillary. I think she worked hard on this one.
Yay! We won! / Hillary won. Oh.
All right.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say that. All right. So Hillary goes on to the next round. So our next bracket here is reparations. Now, we have some great quotes on reparations from recent CNN town halls. Let's go with Marianne Williamson, not really the best known of the Democratic candidates that are out there, but she's a best-selling author and a spiritual teacher.
Yes.
So I know Philbin's probably very, very up on what she's doing.
She's and got wonderful chakras.
Yeah.
Is that one of the many faiths?
Yes.
She's discussing her idea of, $100 billion, $10 billion per year for slavery reparations. She gets asked a question about that. Here is her response.
During World War II, we're paid between $20,000 and $22,000. It's simply a debt we owe. This country will not heal until we take a serious moral inventory. People, a nation must undergo the same level of deep moral inventory, admission of our character defects. Racism is a character defect. Let's end this. Let's fix this. Let's solve this. Reparations won't end everything, but it will be a profound gift. It implies a mea culpa. It implies a recognition of a debt owed, and therefore it carries not only economic power, but spiritual force. Whatever it costs, it's time to do this.
Wow. Deep cleansing breaths.
My chi feels so centered now.
Philbin's speechless really, over nothing. In the corner.
I
now.
Got nothing. This is, she brings up the Japanese, and of course, we did. We gave reparations to people who were interned, but most of them.
But they were the people who were interned.
Exactly.
They weren't dead people.
Right. They weren't dead people many generations removed from the crime. The other thing is, 600,000 Americans didn't die settling the question of whether the Japanese should have been interned or not. 600,000 Americans died to settle the question of slavery. So I'm kind of thinking the debt is paid. But, on the other hand, I'm sure there are some useful things in her book to tell us about, cleansing our souls and getting
spiritually healthy.
Well,
it's not just monetary,
healthy.
It's spiritual.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
That's,
and,
that's the money thing. $10 billion, but whatever it costs. Okay, the other one is clearly a Philbin favorite because it's Julian Castro. He's asked about reparations, something that an idea he favors.
When it comes to Medicare for All, health care, the response there has been, we need to write a big check, that when it comes to tuition-free or debt-free college, the answer has been, we need to write a big check. And so if the issue is compensating the descendants of slaves, I don't think that the argument about writing a big check ought to be the argument that you make if you're making an argument that a big check needs to be written for a whole bunch of other stuff.
Interesting.
So if under the Constitution, we compensate people because we take their property, why wouldn't you compensate people who actually were property?
Because they're dead.
Wow.
Wow.
But that's just a thought.
When your answer for everything is a big check, which is a lot of the liberal answers for a lot of problems here in the United States, a big check solves a lot as long as it's, taxpayer money. Hey, why not on reparations?
That's why he's only talking to, he's obviously running in a Democratic primary because I certainly don't think we should be writing big checks for anything. except maybe like, you know, Marine divisions and stuff. But no, this is just ridiculous. It's, oh, we're throwing money at stuff. Why not throw money at this?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that that's why I'm going to go with him for taking the cake on this one. Because I think, first of all, it definitely does. It does kind of expose the liberal solution to everything, which is to just chuck money at it. It kind of exposes that this really isn't about fixing a problem, because the problem doesn't exist to be fixed. The problem is 150 years old. It's about pandering. That's essentially what this is about. It's about pandering. So I'll kick this off by going with him for the win on this one, in my opinion.
Okay, again, I'm going to go against you. I think you're ignoring the spiritual value of reparations, which Marianne Williamson really, really gets to the heart of.
In my defense, I didn't really understand half of what she was saying, but I don't think that's my fault.
And I think, you know, it's rare that you find a politician that not only addresses the monetary needs of a class of voters, but also address their spiritual needs with a big check. That is impressive. That is heinous. That offends me. I'm going with Marianne.
I've got to go with Eric on this one. I really, government should never be in the business of doing anything more than what's in the Constitution, but it certainly shouldn't be salving our souls.
All right, so our next bracket is letting the Boston bomber vote. We recently had two Democrats that spoke out in favor that that's a wonderful idea, but who did it better? That's the question. Let's go for Bernie Sanders.
It's being like you're writing an opposition ad against you by saying you think the Boston Marathon bomber should vote not after he pays his debt to society, but while he's in jail. You sure about that?
Well, Chris, I think I have written many 30-second opposition ads throughout my life. This will be just another one. But I do believe, look, you know, this is what I believe. Do you believe in democracy? Do you believe that every single American 18 years of age or older who is an American citizen has the right to vote? Once you start chipping away at that, believe me, that's what our Republican governors all over this country are doing. They come up with all kinds of excuses why people of color, young people, poor people can't vote. And I will do everything I can to resist it.
Everybody. It's a democracy. You don't ever forfeit your right to vote. You don't ever forfeit the privilege of having a say in what happens in the country that you essentially sinned against. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I wish he felt that same way about the Second Amendment.
Mm, that's true.
Well, I'm trying to fit. First of all, what is murder? I'm not sure what murder is. So there's that. I've always thought that was kind of funny. The whole, you know, how they're perfectly fine with stripping law abiding members of society of their Second Amendment rights, but they want to make sure that, you know, terrorists who blew people up or sexual assaulters who went on rape sprees still have a chance to participate in our, quote, democracy. It's baffling to me. And again, to me, it's another example of pandering. They want to scrape up votes wherever they can get them. And I don't think that this is any different.
You know, I'm going to have to say I'm favoring him going in this match, but Kamala Harris did agree with him. Here's what she had to say.
I have been long an advocate of making sure that the formerly incarcerated are not denied a right to vote, which is the case in so many states in our country, in some states permanently deprived of the right to vote. And these are policies that go back to Jim Crow. These are policies that go back to the heart of policies that have been about disenfranchisement, policies that continue until today. And we need to take it seriously.
But people who are in convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
Bernie wins this one hands down because she's just, you know, this is a conversation. Bernie was like, this is what I believe. This is the way it is. Absolutely. You can't chip away at it. So, on strength of that performance alone, crazy Bernie, I'm giving it to him.
Completely agree with you. I think Kamala Harris was sort of caught off guard a little bit, and I think that she sort of waffled. She didn't really state a position. It's bad enough that she's willing to even, like, you know, want to have that conversation. But yeah, this one definitely goes to Bernie.
I'm just disappointed nobody mentioned how cute the Boston bomber is.
Well, we were going to have somebody from Rolling Stone on, but yeah, they canceled last minute. So, you know, we know what they think.
I have to say Bernie took this one. Hands down.
Bernie, yeah. Wow, unanimous winner there. Bernie, going into the next round. All right, now it's going to be pandering to an audience is our next bracket. We bring you Elizabeth Warren's tweet with a picture of Cersei from Game of Thrones. She tweets out, "Why do I love Game of Thrones? It's the women, duh. Looking forward to tonight's episode. In the meantime, you can read my review of the season premiere here."
This woman's never watched an episode of Game of Thrones in her life. Whatever poor staffer she made watch that episode and write that thing. That's what I think happened. This is, it's so bad. This is Papa Bear in your kitchen bad. It's so bad.
This is worse. This is worse. Okay, what is she up against? Well, we all remember this. AOC speaking at the Sharpton event, the National Action Network, in her black scent.
"I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work."
What is that? What is that? Does she have hot sauce in her bag?
She ain't no ways tarred.
Oh, God.
It was so cringeworthy. Oh, it's so terrible.
Because of the cringe-inducing, I don't know how you watch that or hear that without cringing, oh, my goodness. I say for pandering to an audience, AOC gets the victory.
I have to agree with that. I definitely have to agree that not only because it was pandering, but because it was racist. I mean, you're sitting there looking at a bunch of black people trying to talk like them when you're not one of them. And so you're trying to use this slang or whatever, but you're also basically assuming that they're all just a bunch of bus drivers and chefs. And I mean, that's ridiculous and really incredibly insulting. So for pandering with an added level of racism, I'm going to give this one to AOC.
Yeah, I don't think you can really. This is AOC by a knockout. It's what's worse and more disturbing is the audience sitting there approving of her pandering to them in that way, and it's talk about cringe inducing. That was really
Team AOC clearly winning the pandering division. Now let's go on to the post Mueller report impeachment comments. We first go to Hillary Clinton. This was just the other day, and this was special in so many ways.
"Did Donald Trump obstruct justice as you read the incidences as Mueller lays them out?"
Well, I think there's enough there that any other person who had engaged in those acts would certainly have been indicted.
There's something really, really... Do you think she's missing the irony here? There's something really ironic about Hillary Clinton saying any other person would be indicted.
Well, except for the sitting rule in the Obama Department of Justice that you can't indict a Clinton. Yeah.
She had fallen down prior to this. She had tripped over the Rose Law Firm records. And she was a little off kilter. So you have to...
We'll have to forgive her. But the other one is just as awesome. You know, is anything more enjoyable than a nice quick quote from Auntie Maxine?
"I have so many calls, 90% of all the calls that I'm getting. People see me on the street and they're talking about impeachment. When are you going to impeach? And so I think as the level of interest and the level of, you know, not putting up with this president any longer comes to the forefront and lays on and leans on and pressures the Congress of the United States, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to impeach. I just wish it was sooner than later."
Oh, that's tough.
All right. Now I'm going to make a technical call here. I'm going to say Hillary did not actually use the word impeachment. She did not. So technical foul by default, Auntie Maxine wins this one.
Yeah. I would have to say Maxine Waters with this one too. I really and it's this one was one of the hardest ones for me, to be honest, because I do so appreciate the irony of Hillary Clinton saying that if this were anybody else, he would definitely be
impeached. It's not funny.
That's just hilarious.
I have to say that the plausibility of people actually talking to Maxine Waters on the street rather than crossing the street to get as far away from her as possible and her shopping cart is, I sort of think that puts it out of contention. I have to go with Hillary for this one.
So we've got two for Maxine and one for Hillary. Yeah. At least Hillary got a vote, right? Par for the course. Yeah.
But our next bracket is guns, and we got Cory Booker on gun control.
If I am your president, we are going to bring the fight to the NRA, who wants to represent corporate gun owners, corporate gun corporations, manufacturers, more than they want to represent the people, because this is what they're doing to Americans. They are defending loopholes, like that loophole that if a man is convicted of beating his wife, he can find a loophole to go out and buy a gun and murder her. They are defending not their membership, but loopholes.
Loopholes within loopholes.
Loopholes?
We love them. Just love them. All the loopholes. Because you know how much, law-abiding citizens who believe in the Second Amendment right to defend themselves just love having tons of armed criminals roaming about. Yeah, that's our thing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He knows so much that isn't so.
It's funny because, none of these people have ever been to a gun show, let alone actually bought a weapon at a gun show.
Would you let Cory Booker into a gun show? He seems rather angry frequently.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think it's scary to let Spartacus around so many high-powered weapons. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Okay, but Kamala Harris.
Upon being elected, I will give the United States Congress 100 days to get their act together and have the courage to pass reasonable gun safety laws. And if they fail to do it, then I will take executive action. And specifically what I will do is put in place a requirement that for anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, they are required to do background checks when they sell those guns. I will require that for any gun dealer that breaks the law, the ATF take their license. And by the way, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Well, the ATF has been doing a lot of the A and the T, but not much of the F.
She's doing the stewardess dance. She's,
it's like the YMCA, except it's the ATF.
And have you ever noticed that every time she talks, there's a bunch of awkward pauses in it? It's very strange.
It's poetry.
It is. You think it's a haiku? An anti-gun haiku?
Okay, so Cory Booker, he's going to take on the NRA and their loopholes inside loopholes inside loopholes. But you know what? Executive action. Wow. 100 days. This law's pretty much already in effect.
Well, yeah, but she's going to enact something executively.
Executively.
She's got a phone and a pen. We've seen this before.
You're just going to shred the Constitution. Just do away with
Kamala
it.
Kamala wins in my book.
I got to go with you because, the whole totalitarianism thing is, it's kind of a Trump card. No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give this one to Harris, too. I think that she knows just as little about firearms and firearm laws as Cory Booker does. But the fact that she was willing to take it to the next level and say, hey, look, we're just going to completely do an end run around Congress. I'm going to give them 100 days to bow to my will. And then if they don't do it, I'm going to do it anyway. That's not how the law works. There's a thing called the Constitution, and it determines that. And I think the fact that she's just willing to shred that definitely puts her above Booker, in my opinion, on this category.
Next one is going to be charitable giving. They were asked about their charitable giving. We have two particular sound bites recently. This one coming from Robert Francis O'Rourke.
And we were wondering why, as someone who earns 7 times the amount of income as she, a recent college graduate, does, gives less in charitable donations than she does.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Yeah. So first of all, I think we would all like to ensure that every person who holds the highest position of power and public trust in this country releases his or her taxes so that we understand whether there are any real or perceived conflicts of interest so that we hold ourselves accountable, as I am doing with you right now. I've served in public office since 2005. I do my best to contribute to the success of my community, of my state, and now of my country. There are ways that I do this that are measurable, and there are ways that I do this that are measurable. There are charities that we donate to that we've recorded and itemized, others that we've donated to that we have not. But I'll tell you, I'm doing everything I can right now, spending this time with you, not with our kiddos, not back home in El Paso, because I want to sacrifice everything to make sure that we meet this moment of truth with everything that we've got. So if you have not read those tax returns, they're online now for your scrutiny. Just know this. I will continue to try to be as transparent and as forthcoming as I possibly can be.
I give and I give. Isn't that enough for you people? I'm out here talking to you. How dare you?
I have given you the gift of me. What more do you want?
Oh, gosh. All right. And of course, we have Bernie asked about the same question.
Why don't you get Donald Trump up here and ask him how much he pays in taxes?
Well, I
am eagerly awaiting your doing that.
Well, we'd love to have you.
We'll get him up here.
The president, I guess the president watches your network a little bit, right? Hey, President Trump, my wife and I just released 10 years. Please do the same. Let the American people know how much I'm doing.
All right. But just to wrap that up, you do spend a lot of time vilifying millionaires.
No, I don't vilify. The fact that I think people who are doing phenomenally well right now, as you know, for 40 years, we have seen a shrinking middle class. You got 40 million people living in poverty. And today, just so happens that the very wealthy are doing incredibly wealthy. It's not vilifying to say that people have a whole lot of money, in some cases, billions of dollars of wealth. They should pay their fair share of taxes.
Right. Well,
Brett, that's not vilifying.
Last question on this. A lot of millionaires and billionaires give a ton to charity. You gave 3.4%.
Yeah. My wife and I do give money to charity. All right. And we're proud to do what we did. There are others. You're quite right. There are people. Gates Foundation do a phenomenal job. We do what we do.
That's terrible.
All right. I'm going to give the victory here to Beto only because he really stretched it out nice and long. And he talked about, hey, we give to some charities and we give to other charities that we don't document, but I'm trying to be transparent. And frankly, you should be thankful that I'm here.
The Bernie jiu-jitsu of turning it on Trump, you know, and confronting Bret Baier about it was pretty good, but I don't know. Beto's indignity, you know, that he's not doing enough by gracing us with his presence, that kind of tips it in for me. So I got Beto too.
Well, I will yield to the majority, but I would have to have given it to Bernie only because of this. Look, I think that Bernie, this is his selling point, right? Like, this is his major talking point. It's the whole, you know, millionaires are bad, even though I am one. He doesn't ever talk about that. You know, it's all about the top 1%. So I think because that is his major platform issue and he's such a raving freaking hypocrite on the whole thing, I think I would have to give it to Bernie. But we'll go with the top two votes here.
We got the top two votes. Okay, so now we're moving on to funding for college. We have two Democrats, senators that both love that idea. And hey, Bernie's in this bracket as well. Surprise, surprise. So perhaps he has a chance to make a comeback here.
People should not have to forego getting married, forego having kids, forego having a car for the crime of God getting a college education. And we will deal with that in a very, very significant way. And then people say, well, how are you going to pay for that? Well, gets back to the question that the young man asked a moment ago. Yeah. When Wall Street was bailed out by Congress to the tune of at least $1 trillion, don't tell me we don't have enough money in this country to substantially reduce student debt.
All right, so there we go. We have Bernie, we just have the money. That's basically the plan. The money's there.
I don't know what to say. It's so ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
Well, and the fact that he uses Wall Street as an example, like we're all supposed to bail out students from being, just being completely victimized by these corporations or whatever. You never see any recognition of the fact that the government actually owns the vast majority of student loan debt because of laws that were passed about 10 years ago. So,
Obama took over the industry, basically.
Exactly. So it's not like we're bailing them out from these evil corporations. No, we're simply putting the burden on the taxpayers to forgive a debt that the taxpayers have been backing for the last decade. And there's a complete either ignorance or just denial of that fact.
Okay, and now we have Elizabeth Warren with her 2% tax on the super ultra wealthy of the universe.
An ultra millionaire's tax. It's 2 cents on every dollar of the great fortunes above $50 million. So your 50 millionth and first dollar, you got to pay 2 cents and 2 cents on all of the dollars after that. And here's the stunning part. If we ask the great fortunes in this country, and understand, this isn't about trying to be nasty or say that you've done anything wrong. What it's about is saying, look, you had a great idea, you got out there, you've worked hard, or you inherited well, whichever one it was. But now that you've got that great fortune, spend just a minute to remember how you got it. You built that great business, or your ancestors did, using workers that all of us helped pay to educate. You got your goods to market using roads and bridges that all of us helped pay to build. You were protected in your factories with firefighters and police officers that all of us helped to pay. And we say, good for you that you have now gotten this great fortune, but 2 cents, you gotta pay something back so everybody else gets a chance.
I think they pay a lot. As a matter of fact.
That was such a you didn't build that moment. Yes. I mean, she just jacked that from Obama shamelessly.
And for that, I give her the win.
Right, propaganda.
Oh, she stole her moves from Obama. She took it to the court and she shot. She dunked. She dunked liberal. She dunked the hoop of liberalism. She did
so much. Look, okay, first, she did the whole you didn't build that thing. She spouted off some numbers that sounded like she was trying to remember them from something that her staffers wrote. And then she also pulled out the race card. So she hit the trifecta of liberal nonsense. I've got to give it to Warren here. Hands down.
Working historically black colleges in there, that was impressive.
I was going to say, I don't know how much more liberal nonsense I could take, to be honest with you. Goodness gracious.
Okay, so now it's time for the speedy playoff rounds. We're going to start off Easter worshipers with Hillary Clinton. Yes, the tweet. She won that tweet. She faces off against Marianne Williamson, who decided that it's good if you have to spend $100 billion on reparations because it helps end racism and bring spiritual guidance or something to that nature.
I'm going Marianne. It was just too ridiculous not to.
I'm going Marianne as well.
Reparations won't end everything, but it will be a profound gift. It implies a mea culpa. It implies a recognition of a debt owed, and therefore it carries not only economic power, but spiritual force.
Okay, now it's between pandering to an audience with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez versus Bernie's support of letting the Boston bomber vote.
Oh.
It's going to be a tough playoff.
Man.
Tough playoff.
Wow.
The pandering makes me laugh. Bernie makes me cringe. I'm going to go with the one that makes me laugh. AOC's pandering makes me chuckle. I think she looks the fool.
Yeah.
I'm going for AOC.
I see. I got to go with Bernie on this one because I think that it scares me more. It really does. It scares me more. Let terrorists vote.
Since Bernie was talking specifics, talking about a policy rather than just pandering, yeah, I got to go with Bernie.
Do you believe that every single American 18 years of age or older who's an American citizen has the right to vote? Once you start chipping away at that, believe me, that's what our Republican governors all over this country are doing.
All right. I lose that one. Bernie and the Boston bomber. Go on. We have Marianne on reparations or Bernie voting for the Boston bomber.
Oh, goodness. I think that Bernie, I don't know. I feel like there's more public support. Again, he scares me more. I feel like people would actually kind of get behind that and not as much with the reparation. I don't know. That one worries me more. I just based on what I think actually would have a better shot, which really freaks me out, I think I would have to go with Bernie on this one.
I think Williamson's is still even more offensive idea than letting the Boston bomber vote. I think Williamson is more outrageous.
I still think she's got better chakras.
Chakras. All right, Williamson.
Chakras win.
It carries not only economic power, but spiritual force.
Okay, on the other side of the bracket, we have Maxine Waters on impeachment versus Kamala Harris and her executive order on guns.
Harris. I'd have to go with Harris. I really would, because I think that she's really, really serious. I think Maxine just sounds insane, which, you know, must be a day that ends in Y, but still.
I'm going to say that at least with Harris's executive order, it's something relatively new I've heard. Maxine's been preaching impeachment since the day Trump got elected. So it doesn't excite me. I want to get excited for the playoffs. I want Kamala Harris in there.
Man, I disagree.
Oh, I disagree. You like Maxine.
We need more Maxine.
Is that ever true?
It absolutely is true. She is the most entertaining politician in Washington, one of the most corrupt. And, you know, I think this final four, this, what are we down to, final four?
Not quite yet.
This great
She'll eight, go into the final four.
I think we need her. I think it's good for the sport. You know what? Good for the sport.
You know what?
She's the Tiger Woods.
All right, Matt convinced me. I'm changing my vote. Maxine's in. Matt convinced me.
Dang it.
It's good for the sport.
I have so many calls. 90% of all the calls that I'm getting, people see me on the street and they're talking about impeachment. When are you going to impeach?
Next we have Beto O'Rourke on his charitable donations, kind of, sort of, and paying for college. Yeah, that's right. We have Elizabeth Warren as the victor for that with her college payment plan. Or 2% on the ultra wealthy.
I'm going to go with Beto on this one. I just cannot get over the laughability of like, yeah, I want everybody else to pay bukus and taxes, but I don't give to charity because I'm awesome and you should all be grateful to bask in my presence. That is just such a narcissistic take. I'm going to have to give it to him. At least Warren's, as ridiculous and stupid as it is, she at least kind of tried to make it sound like it makes sense. Beto was just shameless. I'm going to give it to him.
Well, I could never vote against a nice Irish boy like Robert Francis. So I've got to agree there.
Been going in for Robert Francis.
There are ways that I do this that are measurable, and there are ways that I do this that are measurable. There are charities that we donate to that we've recorded and itemized, others that we've donated to that we have not. But I'll tell you, I'm doing everything I can right now, spending this time with you.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
All right. It's Maxine versus Beto. Who's more obnoxious? Whose comment was more Maxine on impeachment, Beto on charitable donations? I'm going with Matt before he convinced me. Maxine's good for the sport. Maxine's one of the top liberal gamers out there.
She's a leftist gamer for everyone.
Yeah, no, she is a leftist gamer. She gets whole crowd. She tells people to attack Republicans when they go out to restaurants, for goodness sake.
Floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee.
So are you both in for Maxine on that one? Yeah, I got a bee.
All right.
You know what?
And Beto is young.
I was actually going to go with Maxine anyway, so.
You know, Maxine's really only has a certain amount of real good playing time left. Beto will be around for a long time.
You're giving her a handicap.
I don't think so. I think it's really just an appreciation of the long-standing, consistent excellence of a champion.
She's tried so hard to be so ridiculous.
All right, here we go. Big championship roll. This is the final gun, final one. Williamson. Marianne Williamson. $100 billion for slavery reparations. It's good for society. And it's spiritual.
Whatever
it's wonderful.
Costs.
And Maxine Waters, people on the street tell her that she should impeach, so therefore just do it because word on the street is Huggy Bear says impeach. We're going all Star Starsky and Hutch on this one. Madison, we're on the street. That's what Maxine's hearing. Her phones are loaded. Which is more obnoxious? Oh, it's a battle. It's a battle.
Oh, I don't even know.
Whatever it takes to soothe our nation's spirituality. That's just kind of...
Our souls
she's
are
She's reaching for the sky
Matt.
There. I got to go with Marianne.
All right. He's going with
she
Marianne
is our
Williams.
Final Four champion, oh. as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Brittany?
I'm going to have to make this interesting and go with Maxine.
Oh.
I am. I'm
Why are you
have
going
to go
with Maxine
with
and putting
Maxine.
Me on the spot here? Oh.
Oh, because I'm cruel like that, and I want to mess up your
you
chakras.
You are cruel. You're messing up my chakras. My chi is
so
in disarray.
Sorry. Is all askew.
Oh, the only thing that can repair my chi is spiritual healing. I am going with Williamson. Williamson wins. He wins.
It implies
Mark's
a recognition
madness.
Of a debt owed, and therefore it carries not only economic power but spiritual force. Whatever it costs, it's time to do this.
Has to fall. Time for the new guard. We are out of time. Thank you for tuning in this podcast from MRC TV. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see you guys back next time.
I'm Matt Philbin. Thanks.
See you next week.
Woo!
Toodles.